The following message is brought to you by TalkSport and the Anti-Terrorist Hotline. The man at the end of the street doesn't talk to his neighbours much, because he likes to keep himself to himself. He pays with cash, because he doesn't have a bank card. And he keeps his curtains closed, because his house is on a bus route. This may mean nothing, but together, it could all add up to you having suspicions. We all have a role to play in combating terrorism. If you see anything suspicious, call the confidential anti-terrorist hotline on 0800 789 321. If you suspect it, report it.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting you for the internet for Monday, November the 8th, 2010. You're listening to Newsreel, the wild global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your head, space, and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury, SES, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at Second Life Node Archers at Grid 1-5574-666. You can hang out with us down here, including such wonderful cyber denizens as Heavy Metal, Kaz, Secret Spy, Sporadic E, Lauren Law, Morphs, Agent Dak, Ava Mode, Alakamon, AOI, Balls, Bash, Berthel, Karzi, Xenobuilders, Cyrix Core, Xerxes Core, that I know who the fuck you are, Devin, Harmonic, Lachlan, Max the Token Cat, Mindy Starek, who's always looking great, Napalm, Rashnarok, Roshan, Amratsu, Sofia Nemirova, Tuckcraft, who did some wonderful remodeling in here recently, Tanya Baracula, Yugosaki Coronet, I think, oh wait, no, Yugosaki, somebody else, but I can't see because the other guy's name is in front of it. Yukosaki Ivy Lord, which is probably the same Yukosaki. I don't know. It could be a different guy. Hope it's the same dude. Anyway, and let's not forget IE6 for life, or my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
I'm back here again.
You're back here again. Sean. With a gravelly voice, though. What's going on with your voice, man? Did you drink some bacon? Did you have some butter? Did you drink some bacon
fat? Yeah, I was gargling bacon.
Did you have a grilled cheese sandwich? Because you could fix a lot of shit with a grilled cheese sandwich, I'm telling you.
No, I went to the doctors last week, like I reported, and they came back with negative results for any bacterial infection.
So they don't know what it is.
Just a cough.
Did he tell you to eat a sandwich?
Slight.
What did he tell you?
Slightly better each week. It is getting better. They did not tell me to eat a sandwich with any kind of various animal products in it.
Quacks! Fucking quacks. That's what they are. If they don't tell you to consume any flesh of carcasses, they must be absolutely mad. I don't really understand. You know, but it's a mystery, right? They're like, well, it's getting better. Thanks. You went to school for years to tell me that. God, you know, the difference between God and a doctor is God doesn't think he's a doctor. That's the difference between those people. I fucking hate doctors. I really do. There's some good ones out there. And for all the good ones, and the good ones are the one listening to the show right now who's offended. That doctor, yeah, you're not one of them. You know the doctors I mean. And that's the funny part, too, is doctors who are like all pissed off at people who hate doctors, I'll look at them and be like, yeah, why don't you tell me why I hate doctors? Because you can. Because you know so many bad fucking doctors. Like, give me a break. I mean, and how the hell is a layperson supposed to know the difference between a good doctor and a bad doctor? And generally, most of them, yeah, they've got super big power trips. But back to your issue of, non-meat eating. So the crack doctor you saw said, I don't know what's going on, but it's getting better. Is that it?
No, they took a throat culture and
a throat culture?
And grew it and made sure it wasn't a bacterial infection. That's something that could be cured. Which this isn't it, so it cannot be cured because it is a virus and they have not found the cure for the common cough or the common cold. And she said, well, if you do, then you will become the richest person on the planet. But unfortunately, we do not have cures for the common cure or common cold or common coughs.
Well, we need to get on that.
I'm just going to have to weather this through to get our resources together, gather everyone together, and, you know, cure this scourge.
Garlic.
I guess just not a lot of people are working on that.
Garlic.
That's right. Load up with the garlic.
Garlic. It's... Seriously, garlic. I'm not shitting you. I'm totally not shitting you.
Yeah?
Don't take... Yeah, I'm... God is my witness.
I eat
witness.
A lot of garlic.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You
just
eat processed...
Just about every food.
No, you don't. You eat processed garlic. I'm talking about go... Get some garlic that's not been out of the ground for less than 24 hours. Like, get some garlic that has been just
fresh.
Thick. Fresh, a whole clove of it, okay? Like a whole big fucking onion of it, okay? You get it, okay? And you take it and it's raw and you smush it into a paste, okay? So it's processed by your body. And then you mix that with, like, if you can mix it with lemon, that's the best. But it's pretty rough to get that downrange. Now, once you got, it looks like porridge when you're done. That's what it should look like. Okay, you put that in your body, okay, and you're going to need to chase it with something, maybe applesauce, okay, because otherwise you'll vomit it. But that will not kill you. That will cure the cold. That will cure you of any virus in your system. It'll probably clean up. I'm not even joking. You think I'm kidding? I've done this a number of times. I kid you not. If you can get as much of that into you as you can without puking, you will solve any virus problem you've got in your body. I kid you not. And I'm putting it on the show, man. And there's few things
I
buy, but
I do
you can...
eat organically grown local garlic, so short of growing it outside of my windows.
Okay, so you got some... How much garlic are we talking about?
Here?
How much garlic are you putting down here? Well, what's your intake here? Like, we're
quarter,
talking...
Quarter of a clove every second night or so.
Quarter of a clove.
We eat garlic in a lot of stuff.
Really? Do you cook it?
We love garlic.
Do you cook it?
Yeah.
Ah, that's where you're doing the damage.
Problem.
Yeah, you got to get it raw. You do. No, that's no lie. And anybody who knows anything about, you know, food, nutrients and stuff like that will tell you that. If you cook food, food in its raw state is better, especially crushed. I mean, it's cool that you're eating the garlic, and I'm all about that.
I'm switching to raw vegan diet, then. You've convinced me, Sean.
No, you crazy bastard. You listen to me when I say stuff like that, you know. I mean, that probably, if you're going to eat vegetables, yeah, you know what? I'd probably further support a raw vegan diet versus a cooked vegan diet, because at least then you're getting... that you're getting the nutrients. You know, what they used to do is homeless dudes used to walk around on the east coast of Canada, and they would go up to doors. And this is back in, like, you know, the 50s and the 40s and stuff like that. And they would ask for this stuff called poutine. And poutine is when you boil vegetables to make soup or whatever, there's the water you boiled the vegetables in that usually people throw out, but they used to save that stuff, the water that they boil the vegetables in. And these guys would come up and they'd ask for it. They'd ask for the poutine, and they would just give it to you. It was just like something they do to help, like, homeless people and stuff like that. Yeah, kind of an interesting story. So this, of course, it was told to me by relatives, and this gets passed down. So yeah, and you get this stuff.
Ancient wisdom.
Well, you know, it's not ancient wisdom, but it tells you that there's some nutrient value in this, because these homeless people would drink this stuff, right? And it would keep them alive. And when you're dealing with, like, the east coast of Canada, that's a pretty rough territory out there. Like, the environment will kill you, right? So you gotta kind of watch that. Anyway, let's get to... I got some feedback right after I tell everyone that we are, in fact, transmitting on Radio Trend 99 on a frequency of 6673 kilohertz. Now, I thought, actually, I was going to go on a quest because a friend of mine was asking me about something, but I since then discovered that he was an idiot, and I totally found it, so we're not going to worry about that section of the show, because you're, like, probably wondering, what the hell is that? Yeah, that was something else.
Okay.
Feedback. Dear Sean and my hero Sumerian, I've got a comment pertaining to show 465 about the gay pride parades. Oh yeah, here we go. You know, you mentioned how gay pride parades are necessary to bring about the awareness of gay people within the community. Now, if anyone can tell us how dancing in the middle of the street in boy toy leather gear, waving a pink sign saying "I kiss boys" to the song of "It's Raining Men" is supposed to convince people to hate guys to convince people who hate gays that they deserve respect, then please let me know. Gay pride parades only convince gay bashers that these people are strange to them, and scare these people. I have two gay friends who are afraid to tell people they are gay, because when they do, people will think they are like these fruitcakes. They are now more in the closet now because of the negative image of gay people brought about by these parades. So if you could please explain to me how any of these parades could in any way help the gay community, let me know. Your fan and practicing Seminite, I'm not going to say his name. I thought I was going to say his name, but I'm actually not, because you know what? I'm older than he is, and I probably know not to say his name. Okay, a couple things about the Gay Pride Parade. All right. First of all, this is not something that I could affect in any way. Okay, so the Gay Pride Parade will happen whether I want it to or not. And that's important to remember. Okay, and we live in a society that you can have a parade for something that you agree with or you can't agree with. Okay, and that's okay. You know, it's like neo-Nazi rallies. They're happening. I'm not happy that they're happening, but they're happening, and I can't stop them from happening. Nor, you know, maybe I should want to, and maybe I shouldn't want to, but that's an argument from a different time, okay? But when you have meetings of people who have a certain belief system, and you make that illegal, and you make that whole belief system subject to law, you wind up getting into some pretty draconian stuff. So I think that, you know, the gay pride parades are made to make a statement. They're made to say that, you know, maybe they get so crazy so that the dude is just like, yeah, I'm gay too. They're ridiculous. You know, like I had a great conversation with a gay guy one time. I was in a gay bar in Winnipeg, and I was drunk, and we were out there, and there was this dude, and we were talking, and he said, "You're an army guy, right?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. Yeah." He said, "Can you answer me a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Why is it that all these like fat redneck truckers, right? Why do they all think that us gay guys want to, like, you know, nail them in the ass? Why is that? I want to understand that, because do you want to fuck a fat trucker? Because I don't want to fuck a fat trucker. Like, nobody wants to fuck the fat truckers. And these rednecks, do you want to fuck a redneck? I don't want to fuck a redneck. Really, I really don't. You know, there's no problem here." And I thought, man, that's so true. You know, when you put it that way. You know, and once you sort of look at this and you understand that, you know what, all this weird kind of fear that people are going on because they're afraid that maybe, I don't know what they're afraid of, maybe they're psychologically afraid that that'll affect them and they'll be, I don't know, I don't know what people are afraid of.
That's the problem. They have a misconception of gay people that they think it's a disease. Or
yeah.
I'm going to get with, oh my God, I caught the gay and now I'm gay, and it just doesn't make any sense. You can't be any more gay than... Do you have a choice in being heterosexual? No, you just like the opposite sex.
Well, you know, and that's open to some debate. Like, there's people who will argue that. There's people that will argue that. And I put it to you that, what if you don't? What if it is a choice? So what? You know? So you have what if it is a choice?
A biological reaction?
Yeah.
And you can choose that you're attracted to somebody else?
Yeah, why not?
Choose that. You either are or you aren't.
Right.
Like, I'm going to try real hard to think that the person is really sexy.
That's true.
Oh, I almost got it.
Apparently they do that. Apparently, like, back in the day, gay guys would, like, force themselves to be with women. And, like, they would be married and they'd spend their whole lives like that. Like, you know, and it'd be probably, I mean, that'd be pretty fucked up. I mean, regardless of what anybody else thinks, I've always long believed that, you know, screw everybody else. You know, I don't want everyone to be in this room because, you know, they blindly follow what I say. I want people who are independent thinkers to be in the room. I don't want people who are with me because, you know, they think I'm like the almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing, great Wizard of Oz over here. God knows if you believe that, you know, really. you should listen to more stuff. honestly, it's a bizarre sort of world to think that, you know, you couldn't have differences like that. You know, so these gay pride parades, getting full circle back on the gay pride parade, you know, I think that people are way too concerned about what other people think, you know? Like, I don't really showcase my sexuality. Because I'm a heterosexual and there's no real need for it. And I guess there's a lot of places in the United States where the gay pride parades are important. There's gay pride parades that really do make a difference. And these people feel like, you know, maybe that's the only place they can go where maybe they want to come out of the closet. You know, maybe they'll go to this parade and everybody's so busy looking at the dancing, you know, queer boy dancing to Raining Men and flaming out, that no one will notice Buddy in the corner who's trying to find a friend to say, hey, I'm kind of worried and I don't understand and I've always felt this way and I think I might be a pervert. I don't fucking know. And, you know, I tried to kill myself. I you know, I've never talked to anybody. Maybe he wants to talk to somebody. Maybe, you know, there's something there that can make his life better. I know this much, you know, that I'd rather they give medals to people in the army for killing people. And then they'll, you know, if they find out that they're gay and they actually loved a man, then they'll throw him out. So I don't really understand how that works. When, and you go further back, there's a lot of gay militaries that were actually highly, highly effective. Which is, you know, that's a dirty mystery. Nobody likes to admit the Lambdas. Nobody likes to talk about the Lambdas. You know, this, the all-gay Spartans, I think, or as Romans. They had, like, the highest kill total of any legion of the time and stuff like that. There's lots of crazy stuff like that in gay history and all this kind of jazz. But, you know, all that's sort of this forgotten section of culture. But, you know, bottom line, I think that you can only make choices for yourself. And I don't like people throwing their religion in my face. I don't like people throwing their politics in my face. I don't like people really throwing their sexuality in my face either. So I hear you. You know, sometimes the gay pride parades is like that critical mass. You know that thing, Sim? Downtown where all the bike guys run around in circles and fuck up traffic and the cops have to protect them and stuff. It's exactly the same thing. And I'm like, you know, I don't mind that you have a bike, but do you have to, like, block my car with that shit? Like, do you have to do that, really? You know? Because I didn't want to kill you before, but I'm kind of thinking about it now. You know, really, I just... Dear Sean and Sim, a few thoughts on show 475. Oh, God. Number one, instead
that
of turning...
show.
What's that? That's the one where I guess we were talking about prosthetic eyes.
So controversial.
Yes. Instead of turning off the advertisements with prosthetic eyes, I'd be more interested in the notion of a country like Google selling the eyes. Hey, no health insurance, can't afford a new eye? Well, Google has the answer. For only 35 advertisements a day, you can see again. Which I thought was pretty good. Sim's absolutely right, number two. At least in part. Yeah, in part you're absolutely right. In the drug development process, Viagra was initially developed as a cardiac drug. However, the initial clinical trials, nobody ever ended up returning the pills. When the company contacted the individuals to find out why they didn't return the pills, a new market for Viagra was born. Also, I used to work for a neuroimaging center. Drug reps used to come in and buy us lunch to push their product once or twice a week. I remember a particular incident when a doctor asked how a new drug was similar in effect but chemically different to Provigil worked. The drug rep replies, well, we don't really know, but that's why the FDA's fast-tracked us to the market. That's a quote. So, things like Provigil, which keep you awake, I mean, they don't really understand sleep. Let's be really clear here, okay? Like, they don't understand what sleep does. The human neocortex is the most complicated thing we know about. Okay, so...
Well, they know it does. They just don't know how it does it.
No,
right?
Actually, I'll challenge you on that. They don't fully understand sleep. They don't understand what all the different things that happen during sleep. They've got...
Well, they know if you don't get sleep...
You die.
And if you do get sleep, you're all good again. So they know what it does. They just don't know how it does it.
Yeah, well, sleep fixes all wounds. That's what I know. Anybody who's sick,
yes.
Garlic. Eat a shitload of garlic. Sleep as much as you can. Drop like 10 milligrams of melatonin. Yeah. No, don't do that. I'm kidding. I should be careful with stuff because people will do that. Dead guys.
That's right.
Dear Sean. Dead guys on a stick next to Christ. This is pretty great stuff, actually. Remember? We were talking about the dudes got nailed to a stick. On Christmas there. There were two thieves. One guy was named Dismas, and the other guy was named Justass. Dismas repented, and Justass didn't repent. This is according to my cube mate who teaches Bible study. I'm no thumper, which is really funny. Datamank had sent that in, and he's like, hey man, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about Christianity. It wasn't me. I was this other guy. So I'm like, I'm not no Christian or nothing. I'm like, it's cool, man. It's all right. You know, they have Christian pride parades too. Now, from the Wikipedia, I checked this out. This is cool. Justass, also spelled Jesmas, is the apocryphal name first appearing in the Gospel of Nicodemus, according to two thieves who was crucified alongside Jesus. According to the Gospel, Justus taunted Jesus about not saving himself while Dismas asked for mercy. So one guy's like, you're my God, I totally believe in you. The other guy's like, if you're so fucking God, why don't you miracle your ass off this cross right now, because we're all getting crucified. So that's what he was doing. The other guy's like, no, you're my Lord and Savior. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about, retard? Like, do you not realize that if he was the Lord and Savior, he would not be on a stick right now? Like, what are you thinking? So I kind of like the whole, you know. you know, so the Justass, I think that's a good server name, be a good boat name, you know, be a good scientific project, you know, the Justice Project, you know, something like that. It's great. I enjoy words like that, you know. That's how I come up with all these, like, digital...
Make up some cool project, dude. Give it a cool name, and somebody has to look up and go, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. Of course, this Justice guy kind of got immortality because of Jesus anyway, didn't he? Really? I mean,
yeah.
Because I know his name today. We're talking about it. But I'm just saying, you know, he kind of. Anyway.
Since years later.
Yeah, well, according to the Bible, he actually, you know, died, went to hell and stuff. But, you know, that'd be a great character. good private eye. You know, some atheist, you know, spirit hunter private eye guy. You know, cursed for all eternity.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that'd be a good, yeah, sure. Because, like, maybe he didn't die. Maybe they don't talk about what happened to him. Maybe he didn't die on the cross, but because, you know, God was pissed at him because he made fun of his son while he died, right? Because taunting the Son of God, right? So that's rich, fertile ground for a character right there. Bam! So he's been cursed.
Perfect.
Right? Like vampires, right? So you got this guy who's been cursed. So then you come up with a cool curse that Buddy's got, and boom, you got a character. And he lives forever, right? Of course, because they're all immortal, right? Because that's how he's, you know, and that's your bad guy, and you can have, like, a cop start finding his crimes and track all this shit down, and that's how they make these shows. Anyway. In the Black Ops news, sent in by Mind Inversion, thank you very much, an ongoing computer attack has knocked Burma off the internet. Oh, shit. Just, you know, I was wondering why I couldn't get to Burma, just days ahead of its first election in 20 years. The attacks started in late October and has grown in the last few years to overwhelm the nation's link to the net, said security firm Arbor Networks. Reports from Burma say the disruption is ongoing. The attack, which is believed to have started on the 25th of October, comes ahead of the closely watched national elections on 7 November, which tell me that those closely watched national elections are not going to be democratic. International observers and foreign journalists are not being allowed into the country to cover the polls. So much for democracy. It raises suspicions. Suspicions? It raises a shitload more than suspicions that Burma's military authorities could be trying to restrict the flow of information. Could be trying to restrict that. If you've got no internet and journalists aren't in, that's pretty effective.
Succeeding.
You know, what if they were, if they could be trying, what if they were trying? Jesus.
That's scary.
What would they do? They'd probably do what they're doing now, to restrict the flow of information over the election period. The ruling generals say the polls will mark as a transition to democratic civilian rule. Not so much. But as the BBC's Sue Lloyd Roberts reported from Burma, many believe the election is a sham designed to cement the military's grip on power. Well, so that's what's going on there. No big shock.
Yeah.
You know, third world
don't
dictators.
Don't piss off 4chan. You've been warned.
Yeah. Well, you also got to think, like, what if, you know, what keeps that from happening here? Exactly. Like, what stops, say, like, the second time Bush got elected? Everybody seems to have forgotten about the second time that Bush got elected when there was, like, a major scandal. Okay? And, like, the voting was rigged. And then, you know, along comes this amazing media machine behind Obama, right? And he comes in and swoops in and sort of rescues everybody to rescue the entire American psyche. And now, you know, there's this, you know, they're going to raise back up and the Republicans are gaining power. And
that's why we've got to approve the internet shutdown button for Obama. So could this type of thing doesn't happen. We've got to save the internet from itself.
By destroying it, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yes.
I thought the whole point of the thing was that it couldn't be destroyed. Free access to media, you know, Pirate Party, all that good
shit. I thought you were supposed to keep up the internet.
Well, that's why we have the Great American Firewall. You know, because they have the Great Firewall of China. Well, we now have the Great American Firewall. The military's new Cyber Command, responsible for shielding 15,000 computers and computer networks, 15,000, sorry, military computer networks from intruders, has become fully operational, the Defense Department said on Wednesday. More than 100 foreign intelligence organizations are trying to break into U.S. networks. Deputy Defense Secretary William Lynn wrote in a September-October issue of Journal of Foreign Affairs. Some have already have the capacity to disrupt U.S. information infrastructure, he said. Gates ordered the new unit's creation in June 2009 to address the growing threat of cyber attack. It consolidates the offensive and defensive operations under Army, blah, 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 national security. We're stopping cyberspace attacks. So what the fuck are they actually doing? What are they doing? No, seriously, what are they doing? They've got a huge budget, right? They're claiming that they're stopping foreign invaders. Okay.
Bring their budget up? I don't know.
Well, they're doing something, aren't they? They're doing something.
Why this has any outside connection? I guess it does have to have some sort of connection to foreign war zones that they're operating into back home. Some sort of data connection, so there would be a way to get in. So I guess they do have to have some sort of defense. It's definitely not going to be a defense from the internet side of things, because that would be really stupid to hook up any kind of equipment that is essential to your defense up to the internet. So it would be more of a private network or on private encrypted streams.
Maybe. But if it was all that private and well encrypted, they wouldn't need a whole cyber command for it. They'd only need like 6 or 7 guys. Really?
Yeah.
So I put it to you that what these guys actually are is they're actually cyber snoops. There are going to be these are the Gestapo that are going to be going through all your email. These are the guys responding to threats. These are the guys that they've somehow, under the national terrorism thing, we now have people reading our emails and doing surveillance. It's these guys. There's probably one or two of them listening to the show right now. And if they're not, then they will, because they're looking for radicals.
Rather than,
you know, that's what they're
doing. Rather than a defensive position, it's more of an offensive. They're out looking for
shit. They've got to know where it's going to come from, right? If you don't think that they're trolling the white supremacist forums and they're hanging out on Al-Qaeda websites, of course they are. Of course
looking
they
are. Looking for keywords, everything. Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
We talk about some hairy shit on this show, and anything is liable. So, and that's something that really bothers me, too, is that a lot of fans, they don't understand that, you know, you got to be, the internet is evolving, and you got to be careful with what you put online a little bit. You know, don't incriminate yourself at all, because you know what? Yeah. Someone could come along and threaten you with jail time and start manipulating you and stuff like that. All the kind of crap you see in the movies, sometimes that happens. So you want to be careful. You know, don't be stupid. Don't make yourself
legally
vulnerable.
They do to politicians and famous people and crucify them in the media.
Sure.
Imagine what they can do to the words that you put on the internet, that you type into a forum just off the cuff, and it does not go away. It exists forever. Assume everything you type on the internet is for the public, and that's going to come back to haunt you one day. You don't want to incriminate yourself by putting stupid shit on the internet.
Now, okay, classic example of this. On the news today, I'm driving to work early in the morning, and it comes over the radio. There was a shooting at an elementary school in northern BC. I was like, Jesus Christ. A child brought a pellet gun to school and shot another child with a pellet gun.
Okay.
Like, no. That's a shooting. Right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Millions dead.
No, that's not a shooting. That's not even a firearm. A pellet gun is not a firearm.
Yeah,
okay, maybe but
my
it comes
friends
over the CBC.
Played around with pellet.
Yeah, but it comes
Boy,
over the CBC
it
like it's
they
some
use
kind of
the right
it's
words.
A fucking shooting, a shooting. This child, you
shooting.
Know, pointed like, come on, really? There has to be some middle ground here between you know
the feet all the time with our pellet guns, like.
Oh, God, kids used to shoot each other. We used to shoot each other.
Yeah,
with BB guns, like
it's
for
a pellet.
Fun. Yeah, like that was what they did.
It's
that's what we did before airsoft was pellet guns. Okay,
away
that's what
from
it was.
The eyes, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah, don't shoot each other in the head. Okay, deal.
Yeah,
yeah, that was it, and out you go. You know, and that's what guys used to do. And I'm like, well, whatever. I mean, I just it bugged me because the usage of the word. Because then,
full children now.
Well, when I said that, of course, my wife goes, "Well, what was it then? If it wasn't a shooting?" And I'm like, "Ooh." And then I got mad because I'm like, duh, you know, because I didn't really know what else to call that. You know, what are you going to call it? A pelleting? You know? What are you
pelleting.
A pelleting.
We got pelleted.
We got pelleted, you know, and it's brutal, right? So anyway.
It's the news. They're there to, you know, sell.
Well, the CBC, you know, there's some fucking weird people
Not the
on
CBC,
the CBC.
Really,
I don't know if you ever listen to the CBC. If there's any Canadians who listen who are on the program, the CBC is strange. There's some weird, weird cats. You know, it's like public broadcasting and the fat people asking for money and God, I hate that stuff. And that's why I never really wanted to follow the PBS format with Rant Media, because I couldn't stand being one of those dudes. I hate ass. I know you have to. I know you have to, but I hate doing it. It just it's bleh. Yar. Rather advertise.
Better than advertising.
I guess.
Lawyers, lawyers and drugs. Drugs for your lawyers. Lawyers for your drugs.
Yeah, that'd be it. We'll start putting Prozac commercials on. Yeah, what do you hate worse, Sean? Do you like doing that? Right. Or would you rather have, like, you know, Pfizer? Now, Newsreel, brought to you by Pfizer. You know, hi, this is Newsreel, and I have no soul. Yes, run now, children. Lock your doors.
Then they start pulling our news stories that we do on drugs. And then we bow down to them. It's like, sorry, we didn't want to talk badly about your drugs. And yeah.
Yeah, you either play along or we'll make you irrelevant in the mainstream media. That's the big fear, that they'll be irrelevant.
Yeah.
I think that's part of my power, incidentally, is being irrelevant. A lot of people are like, why aren't you more serious? Seriously, no, I do. I'll get emails like that. People are mad. They're
really?
Like, you know what? The world needs you right now, and why aren't you stepping up to the plate? You know, kind of a thing. And I got one specifically about that. And the reason why is because there's a lot of power in being irrelevant. There is. Because I can't... It's pretty difficult to prosecute the kooky guy. You know what I mean? I've said a lot of crazy stuff for a long time. And I put it to you that if a lot of people were to try to get on the internet now and do what we've done, they wouldn't be able to do it. They wouldn't have the following, for one thing. Because, I mean, now, yeah. I mean, there's everybody's trying to do what we got going on. And they haven't been nearly as successful, yeah. right? Not to blow my own horn, but, you know, seriously. So... I think that there's a certain, I guess, protection that kind of comes from being the crazy person. You know, I suppose that's one way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, just look at some of the most trusted news sources on television, is Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and they're comedians.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, look at Dan Rather now,
they're putting
right?
out more news than anybody else, yeah.
That's the funny thing. Dan Rather's my favorite, because Dan Rather was the news. Okay, like Dan Rather was the news. He was the last of the great newsmen, I would think Dan Rather was. Like, there's dudes out there now who like, would try to be as badass as Dan Rather was, but Dan Rather was the shit, okay? And now, nobody talks to Dan Rather. He gets zero airtime, but he's trying. He's trying to get airtime. Yep. He's trying to work with these causes. He's trying to talk with things. But he's just like, now they've forgotten all about him. And it's so interesting how the media can control the attention they place, like control what is in people's attention by what they focus on. And that's really what it is. Like, that's why it's distraction media. Nobody really knows what's going on because you got 10 choices from the salad bar and none of them matter because what's really going on is going on behind you. And that's the way the media works now. It's pretty sad. I've got some bitchin' surveillance news. This is ridiculous. There's a photo related to this story. You should see if we could find it. Someone's already posted it. Well done.
Checking it out right now.
Yeah. The most law-abiding driver might feel a shiver down their spine when spotted this speed camera at the roadside. For as well as detecting speeding, it's packed with gizmos. Gizmos! Clowns have gizmos that check plate numbers, to check number plates to make sure insurance and tax are up to date. This is in England. Okay. Hmm. So you now have the car roadside scanner. Also measures the distance between the vehicles to spot tailgating. And that takes pictures of inside of the car to make sure you're wearing your seatbelt. I'm not making this shit up.
Wow.
This is the latest weapon in speed camera technology and can capture footage from 150 feet away. It is the first to detect multiple offenses at the same time and is connected to police computers via satellite so that prosecutions can be started within seconds of any offense. This is their wording. Okay? Hmm. Development of the system, known as ASSET, Advanced Safety and Driver Support for Essential Road Transport, is being funded with about £7 million of European money. That's a lot of cash.
Wow. Okay.
It is undergoing a testing in Finland and is expected to be deployed across Europe in 2013, with each unit costing £50,000. Booyah! You want to see what's coming over here? This is it, man. These are going in.
Yeah.
Buy your high-watt lasers now, because they're going to be made illegal very quickly. You know those 5 milliwatt, those little milliwatt lasers you can buy, and the ones you're not supposed to look at because they'll burn your eyes out and stuff? Light matches with them and stuff? Okay. Yeah, get one of those. Yeah, get one of those now, because they're going to become illegal very, very shortly. Okay, because you should put that in a camera lens, and it does bad things to the camera. So, you know, at $50,000 a crack, that would get very expensive very quickly. But, you know, that would be vandalism and wrong. And pretty hard to track, though. Pretty hard to track that, especially a red laser. Like, where would they know where the laser's coming from? Yeah. Especially if you can hit a beam at, like, half a mile. I mean, you just snipe this camera. It doesn't make any noise. Camera just stops working. Anyway, it's undergoing testing in Finland. Go ahead.
Out of things, that element out of these things, it introduces such a wide margin of error when a computer determines the guilt of you or not and issues a ticket on the spot without any kind of intervention or... looking at the situation rather than just a plain snapshot of what's
happening.
You're
either wearing your seatbelt or you're not. Are you wearing your seatbelt?
What if you're
What if what?
You just took it off your shoulder for a second. You're adjusting your seatbelt and it's kind of cutting into it, and you just pull it away from your shoulder for a second, and that's the time when you're passing this camera.
Well, and, actually, if you check
it's
the driver's...
So you're it, not wearing your seatbelt.
That's right. That's right, because they could just sit there and say, well, actually, if you check the driver's manual, which you signed when you got your license, and you were tested on this, it says that if you're having problems, you pull over, and then you do that. That's when you do that. So you're actually breaking the law. And you've admitted to it, pay us. Now, the other side of this, too, is they could just say, oh, yeah. No, it's all good. The people who want to fight it, they can fight it. Right? You make them put the onus on the user to fight it. Right? And then the rest of them, they're making money. These things are money. They're cash cows. We don't have to pay cops.
The computer says you're guilty.
We don't have to. We got photos. Are you not guilty? Were you not tailgating this guy? Without your seatbelt on? And you haven't paid your road tax. You know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got you going over the bridge there. Well, you owe us money. And your parking tickets. Okay? Not to mention, you know...
I was doing 70 kilometers an hour. The guy in front of me put on his brakes rather quickly, but the computer took a snapshot at the moment the guy was putting on his brakes. And I almost rammed into him.
Well, that's because you had taken off your seatbelt.
I was at a minimum safe
distance. That's because you were still... You weren't wearing your seatbelt either. So the reason why you almost ran into him was a distraction. Pay us. You know, that's what they're going to say. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what they'll do.
Yeah. Proven guilty. Yeah, not anymore. It's the computer that determines it now.
Well, that's just... But that's the angle, man. That's what they're going to do. This... Yeah. Okay, a spokesman said, we cautiously welcome a device that can detect several potential offenses, but it remains to be seen how accurate it is and how fairly it will be used. It's a pity that the main actions that cause most accidents are namely not pay attention to the road, misjudging distances, and other driver's intents cannot be detected by a device of any sort. More police patrols and better driver education are the only ways to reduce accidents. The asset test project is running until December of 2011 with the aim of improving traffic safety. That's heinous bullshit. Nobody believes that they want to improve traffic safety. This is not about traffic safety. Okay, that is not what this is about. This is about making money. This is about farming the human resources to make sure that you can fund your radical police state. And that's how they're going to do it, is with fines. You know, it's absolutely brutal. But, of course, now, England, this is a story which I got sent to me, and it's easily checked out. This is one of those stories that I thought, I get a lot of crazy conspiracy stuff, sent in.
Yeah.
But this one here is from the House of Lords, in England. And let me go through the... It talks about Foundation X. Now, this might all just be crazy bullshit. All right? I say that going into it. But I know that I got limeys listening to the show right now. Okay? And there's quite a limey population. Okay? And, you know, everybody always likes to make fun of the British. But you got to understand that there used to be a time that the sun never set on the British Empire. It was pretty big. You know, they hammered the Scottish and you know, the hammer of the Scots.
Almost
all
took over the...
That they did. And in order to be that way, you have to have sort of a certain kind of, shall we say, mentality. So, anyway, this is coming from out of England. This was sent to me by Berftel. Thank you very much. Hansard is the official printed transcript of the proceedings of the Houses of Parliament. Okay, so there's a verification. In other words, the working log of the British government. It is an authoritative primary source of records of every speech made in the House of Commons and the House of Lords. Interestingly, it also serves... It also records words spoken under parliamentary privilege. So when an eminent member of the House of Lords stands up 6 hours into a debate and blows the gaff on a shadowy foreign foundation making a bid to buy the British state... It is in this, it is recorded in Hansard, one tends to sit up and take notice. One takes even more notice when his lordship tiptoes around actually the naming the foundation, and its name is Foundation X. I'm going to quote at length from the cut. If you want to see the original, this is available. This is from November 1st. This is brand new, okay? This is from November 1st, 2010, column 1538, which is where things begin to tiptoe into Robert Ludlum territory. This was at the House of Lords. This is what was said at the House of Lords at 10:42 p.m. on November 1st, 2010. Lord James of Blackheath, great name. You know, I'm Lord James of Blackheath. It's pretty pompous, but anyway. At this point, I'm going to have to make a very big apology to my noble friend Lord Sasson, Treasury Minister, because I am about to raise a subject that I should not raise, which is going to be one which I think is now time to put onto higher awareness and explain to the House as a whole. I do not think your lordships have any knowledge of it. I am sorry that my noble friend, Lord Strathside, leader of the House, is not with us at the moment, because this deeply concerns him also. For the past 20 weeks, so this has been since, you know, that's quite a while, I have been engaged in a very strange dialogue with two noble lords, in the course of which I've been trying to bring their attention the willing availability of a strange organization which wishes to make a great deal of money available to assist in the recovery of the economy of this country. For want of a better name, I shall call it Foundation X. Now, this is all British lord speak, so he's saying here that, there's dudes trying to give us money. That's what he's saying. That it's not its real name, but it will do for the moment. Foundation X was introduced to me 20 weeks ago, last week, by an eminent city firm, which is FSA Control. Its chairman came to me and said, "We have this extraordinary request to assist in a major financial reconstruction. It is megabucks, but we need your help to assist us in understanding whether this business is legitimate." I guess they use words like megabucks in the House of Lords.
Megabucks.
I had the biggest put-down of my life when my noble friend, Lord Strathside, when I told him this story. He said, "Why you? You're not important enough to have a question like that." He is quite right. I'm not important enough. But the answer to my next question was, "You haven't got the experience for it." Yes, I do. I have had one of the biggest experiences in laundering the terrorist money and funny money that anyone has had in the city. I've handled billions of pounds of terrorist money. This is what he says.
This is crazy.
Yeah, he said, and Baron, one of the lords said, "Where did it go?" "Not into my pockets. My biggest terrorist client was the IRA, and I am pleased to say I managed to write off more than $1 billion of its money. I have also had extensive connections with North African terrorists, but it was none of the far nastier nation. I know not to talk about that is because it is still a security issue. I hasten to add that it is no good getting the police in, because I shall immediately call the Bank of England as my defense witness and giving as my defense witness, given that it put me to deal with these problems. The point is that when I was in the course of doing this strange activity, I had an interesting set of phone numbers and references that I could go to for help when I needed it. So people in the city have known that if they want to check out anything that looks at all odd, they can come to me and I can press a few phone numbers and obtain a reference. The city firm came to me and asked whether I could get a reference for clearance on Foundation X. For 20 weeks, I've been endeavoring to do that. I've come to the absolute conclusion that Foundation X is a completely genuine and sincere, that it directly wishes to make the United Kingdom one of the principal points that it will use to disseminate an extraordinary great deal of wealth into the world at this present moment, as part of an attempt to seek the recovery of the global economy. I made the phone call to my noble friend, Lord Strathside, on Sunday afternoon." Now, it goes down and it goes on. But what he's saying, what essentially this guy's coming out of the closet, is that, and after a lot of analysis, the guy kind of thinks that it's the Vatican. And that the Vatican wants to start dumping gold into Britain. It's pretty much the only people he can think of that are doing this. So, I'm not sure that the Vatican would be doing that. I mean, it's an interesting point that the Vatican might be doing that. I don't know if there's anyone really rich enough as an individual who could actually, you know, promote the world economy, but the Vatican could do it. You know, it's a pretty interesting story. So, you know, strange things are going on in the world, Sim. I mean, there's funky stuff going on with the 9/11 thing. You know, I think that I'm not sure what the hell's going on anymore, you know. So when
That's
you hear a story like
story.
This talking about, yeah, it's a hell of a story, and it's all right there, you know, and that's not going to get any play anywhere, you know. But maybe here on Newsreel, I can get a couple of guys, and I'll probably get a ton of email going, "Oh, Sean, you know, that guy's crazy. He says crazy shit in the House of Commons all the time. He's totally nuts. Don't listen to him." You know, okay, fair enough.
Maybe.
Maybe. But what if I don't? Right? What if this is one of those things that could be, you know, could be something? You know, maybe some limeys out there can take a look at this. Tell me what you think. Now, in Hunter Killer news, this is great. I've been following UAV stories, which I usually label as Hunter Killers, because that's what they call them in Terminator.
Yes.
Gary Morin, chief executive of the celebrity photo agency, said he'd like to be buzzing his query soon with silent miniature drones mounted with tiny cameras. No more harassment from helicopters hovering in the Hollywood Hills. It would strike fear in the hearts of every celebrity having a birthday party, Mr. Morgan said. Call it C-3 Paparazzi, after the robot in Star Wars. Personal drones aren't yet plying U.S. flyways, but an arms race is building among people looking to track celebrities, unfaithful lovers, or even wildlife. Some organizations like to take them for emergency operations in areas hit by natural disasters. Several efforts to develop personal drones are scheduled for completion within the next year. If the Israelis can use them to find terrorists, certainly a husband is going to be able to track his wife, who goes out at 11 o'clock at night, and follow her, said New York divorce lawyer Ralph Elder. He's totally right. Drones are now associated with the unmanned predator craft of the Central Intelligence Agency uses to fire Hellfire missiles at militants in Pakistan's tribal areas. But the essential technology is increasingly available beyond military circles, and it's spreading fast. An unmanned aircraft that can fly predetermined routes costs a few $100 and to build and can be operated by an iPhone. For now, the Federal Aviation Administration limits domestic use of drones to the government, and those are under tight restrictions. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown said that the agency is working with private industry on standards that might allow a broader use once drone technology evolves. When it comes to paparazzi use of drones, she said, our primary concern would be that of safety issues. However, there's already a regulatory gray area. Recreational use of drones. The FAA doesn't have explicit rules governing such use, but Bruce Brown said advisory applies to pilotless drones, recommends, but doesn't require that such aircraft be flown away from populated areas, away from regular airplanes at an altitude before 400 feet, and the airports be notified that the craft is flying nearby. Ms. Felder said that recreational exceptions could provide clever lawyers with an operation with an opening for use of the drones. The ability to share software and hardware designs on the internet has sped drone development. Ah, bing! The ability to share software and hardware designs on the internet has spread drone development. Okay, thank you, said Christopher Anderson, founder of the website DIY Drones and clearinghouse for the nearly 12,000 drone hobbyists around the world. That's a pretty big following. Coming DIY drone competition will challenge members to walk a mile with a drone following from above. The goal is to make the drone that can stabilize itself and track its target. Given the rapid evolution of the technology, Mr. Anderson said, it is now technically a trivial task. Ohio State University and art technology professor Ken Rialdo is drawing up designs for his paparazzi drone, a successor to his paparazzi bot, a robot he deployed at the Vancouver Olympics to snap photos of athletes and spectators. They'll be able to move around and sense distances and obstacles, said Mr. Ronaldo. Mine will definitely have a lot of flash and bling, probably some lasers, too. But they can't perform such tasks for long. The biggest problem of proto-drones is they can be aloft for only 30 minutes or so. Much work is focused on extending battery life and flight time. At the MIT, professor of the former Navy fighter pilot, Missy Cummings, is working with her students to build a personal Sentry drone. Under a military contract with Boeing Corp, her goal is to develop drones the size of a pizza box, with small propellers that can watch a soldier's back on the battlefield. When the drone sees approaching danger, it will buzz a warning to the soldier's cell phone. But the real prize may be on civilian applications. The military stuff is kind of passé, Ms. Cummins said. It doesn't take a rocket scientist from MIT to tell you we can do it for a soldier in the field. We can do it for anyone. As a parent of a three-year-old, she said she could use the same technology to track her daughter on her way to school. She would need to plant an electronic bug in her lunch or her backpack, but it would bring a whole new meaning to a hover parent. She had said schools can even use drones for perimeter control. This is reality, okay? This is coming. The reason why this is coming is because drones aren't they're not employees. Anywhere where they can fire employees and replace them with drones, they will. That's a fact.
Okay, that's... And if they're saying they're only a couple $100 each, that's really cheap.
Well, even still, is it less than a year's salary of an employee? I mean,
way less.
So even if you break one of them a month, is it still less? Yes, it is.
Way less.
So, you know, this isn't it's a pretty amazing thing. There'll be whole networks for it. And the funny thing is that now the paparazzi, of course, they're sicking it on the people in Hollywood. Which I think is really kind of sick and sad, to be honest with you, because I mean, I personally hate paparazzi with a passion. I think that they're the scum of the earth. I really do. But you know, whatever. the funny thing is, I don't really like camera people. Really, I kind of don't. I never used to. But you know, you guys are changing me around to it. But I always used to do camera people as those guys who they wouldn't experience anything. They were too busy capturing it. You know what I mean? And getting the right angle. But I've kind of changed my approach. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's something... I worry sometimes, though, that camera people don't appreciate stuff as much as, you know, non-camera people. But it could be argued that they appreciate it more.
We're appreciating it for the hundreds and thousands of people who can't be there at the time.
And it looks better. I gotta say, like, some of the photos you take, it looks better than real life. Like, I don't remember it looking that good. You know, shit, really. You know, so it's hyper reality. Yeah, absolutely. It's you, vision on ecstasy. Now, there's a fantastic...
I can see hundreds of these drones flying through the streets and crashing into each other. I can see them deployed in a private setting like a school where they can be controlled. But, I mean, following your kid to school, imagine if, you know, all the people on the block had their drones following their kids to school. They'd have to have some sort of built-in sensors so they won't run into trees, wires, other drones, things like that, run out of batteries, crash into a car.
Well, you know, there's a great website, a couple great websites from China. One's called DealExtreme.com. The other one's called KaiDomain, K-A-I-Domain.com. And they both sell these things that you look through with red LEDs around them for like $20 or something. And you can like look through them and it'll show you where a camera is, because it reflects the lens back. So I'd probably pick one of those up pretty quick, because right now all these things are using cameras. So what you do is you take that 5-watt laser I was telling you about, right? Because if you're going to start shooting down robots, you better know where the cameras are. You know, that's what I'm saying. And of course, on the idea of shooting down robots, in Prison Planet News. Now, there's a fantastic picture here that's associated with this story. You have to go to the website to look at it, but it's great. Last year, two men showed up in Benson, Arizona, a small desert town 60 miles from the Mexican border, offering a deal. Glenn Nichols, the Benson city manager, remembers the pitch. The gentleman's main thrust of things had a huge turquoise... the gentleman that's the main thrust of this thing has a huge turquoise ring on his finger, Nichols said. He's a great big huge guy and equated him to a car salesman. He was selling a prison for women and children who were illegal immigrants. That's what he wants to build. They talk about how positive he was. It was going to be good for the community. And the amount of money that we would realize from each prisoner on a daily rate. But Nichols wasn't buying. He asked them how he could possibly keep a prison full for years, decades even, with illegal migrants. They talked about, like, they didn't have any doubt they could fill it. That's because the prison companies had, like this one, had a plan. The new business model to lock up illegal immigrants, and this plan became Arizona's immigration law. NPR reports that Arizona Senate Bill 1070, the PDF is available, is the immigration bill that requires anyone who can't produce papers proving they are in the country legally to be arrested, was drafted with the help of the influence of the Arizona's private prison companies.
Now it all makes sense.
According to the Corrections Corporation of America, and there's a picture of the patch. I totally want one of those patches. Reports reviewed by NPR, executives believe immigrant detention is their next big market. Last year, they wrote that they expect to bring a significant portion of our revenues from immigration and customs enforcement, the agency that detains illegal immigrants. Booyah! So that's pretty damning. You know, wait. We can make money from illegal migrants? We can make money from these people? Oh, well, hey. Let's build ourselves a concentration camp in Arizona. Let's do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We'll get out of this recession with enough guns. Don't you worry.
That's right. Legislate your own money.
You betcha. That's what you need to do. Some cyberpunk kit. This was sent in by Ed209 for the 360-degree holograms. Thank you very much, Ed. More than 30 years after the famous Star Wars movie was seen, which a hologram of Princess Leia appeared for help from Obi-Wan, U.S. researchers have unveiled holographic technology to transmit moving three-dimensional images. Now, this goes on to say that what this actually is talking about is a hologram. You're like, big fucking deal. So what? There's three-dimensional. That's why it's a hologram. You can walk around this thing. So if you project a hologram of a car, you can walk around the car and it stays a car. Okay, that's the point. Yeah, so they're starting to do that, which is interesting. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is like real holograms.
Pretty much. pretty much. The scientists of the University of Arizona said the prototype holographic three-dimensional telepresence is the first world's first practical three-dimensional system that works without requiring the viewer to wear special glasses or other devices, researchers published on the Journal of Nature. Potential application range from telemedicine, teleconferencing, and mass entertainment. Holographic telepresence means you can record a three-dimensional image in one location and show it at another location in real time anywhere in the world. That's pretty hot.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Existing 3D projection systems produce either static holograms with excellent depths and resolution but no movement, or stereoscopic films such as Avatar, which give the perspective from one viewpoint and only do not allow viewers to walk around the image. The new technology combines motion with an impression of genuine solidity. At the heart of the system, the new photographic polymer developed by the California Research Labs of Nikko Denko, the Japanese electronics materials company. A 3D image is recorded with an array of cameras, capturing an object from different positions, is then encoded digitally into a fast-pulse laser beam, which creates holographic pixels, or holograms, in the polymer. The image itself results from the optical interference patterns between the two laser beams. Wow. Mm. Pretty neat shit.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. we got you know, porn! That's all I got to say about that. Thanks.
Yep.
Now, this is kind of neat, too. These are called datus. And these are basically kind of an interesting design. I talked about tattoos that gave you electronic interface. Well, these are stickers. 5 years ago, Frog Design founder Hartmut Esslinger envisioned a technology that could influence notions of community, identity, and connectivity with minimal impact on the physical environment. Using an online design portal, users would select and try out customized electronic processing devices they would like to print onto their own skin. Then DNA tattoo, or DATU, could include principal input-output tools such as a camera, microphone, or laser loudspeaker that would be up to the user, as would DATU's aesthetics. Most intriguingly, it would capture the wearer's DNA to ensure the intimate user-machine relationship, which I thought was interesting, that it needs to have an intimate user-machine relationship. It's a concept right now, but users... It's a pretty interesting piece of kit where it's essentially a sticker which you print out using a 3D printer, some kind of electronic medium that you put on your skin. Which I'm thinking, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's going to come into a physical reality anytime soon. And if it is, I don't think I'm going to let it take my DNA. Just as a, you know, sort of a side point. We do have some Cyber Eyes. Lots of Cyberpunk kick today. CyberEyes, lots of a good CyberEye update here. Professor Herbert Zerner of Germany's University of Tübingen and colleague at the private company of Retinal Implant AG initially tested their subretinal chip on 11 people. So some noticed no improvement as their condition was too advanced to benefit from the implant, but a majority were able to pick out bright objects. Interesting.
Wow.
So they've got a new eye implant that does this, which I think two of these had lost their vision because of inherited condition of retinitis pigmentosa, or RP, and the others because of related inherited conditions such as, crazy long, you know, choroidoduramenia, RP, yeah, whatever. I hate these medical stories because they go way off. Anyway, bottom line here, they got a chip, they put it in Buddy's eye, now he can see the difference between light and dark objects, which, you know, the cyber eye stuff is interesting to check out. Because there's a lot of, I imagine there's a lot of blind people who listen to the show. I mean, how do they download it? I don't know. But I know there's probably a lot of blind people who dig the show. I know there's a lot of blind people that were into Afternow. So that was an interesting idea. And something that this is pretty cool, though, and this was a simple idea. I can't believe nobody's thought of this. But a guy has come up with something that I've listed as Cyber Ears. What this is actually a cane. This is a sonic cane. Okay. This is an interesting thing. Technology has come a long way towards interacting with vision-impaired individuals with the rest of the world. Yet despite these advantages, a blind man still has to rely on Stone Age technology to get around. The humble walking stick. True, there is serious research into cybernetic enhancements to restore vision, but it's decades away from seeing the light of day. If only the legendary powers of human echolocation were true. It is rare that I use the title of the project as the title of the post, but this one is just too magically not perfect not to do that. It's a project called, it's the title of the project. This project goes by the incredibly long name, Supersonic Stick on the Wrist for Blind People. That's the name of the project. And it rocks. It uses supersonic signals, aka sonar, to send out signals and receive them when they bounce back, giving them a warning to the user of oncoming danger through the sound and vibrations. The beauty of this project lies in its simplicity. Think first of being able to see everything around you, then think about not being able to see anything. Then think about how wonderful it would be to have an object so simple it could fit in your hand that give you another sense to replace the one you lost. Not quite as good as eyes, but certainly something. Now, this is cool. If they built this into a watch,
awesome.
I'd totally be into this. Like, that's totally asking me to build into a watch, man. Like, are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Extending your senses, even for somebody who is sighted, to extend your reach beyond yourself and to be aware of your surroundings without even having to look at them, it's amazing. You could walk and do other things at the same time, and you know when a curb is coming up, when there's an obstacle in your way.
When a guy is approaching you, when there's a dog running up, and there's traffic. I mean, my God, like what?
Somebody coming up behind you, reverse it, put it backwards.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I'd wear one on each wrist. I'd be like double Daredevil. Yeah. It'd be crazy. I'd be ready for that. You know, echolocation, very, very cool. And I can't believe that nobody's thought of this. Like, it seems to me that now, like, I hear about that.
After you look at it, you go, oh, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, like, really? So, good to know that, you know, anybody can think of smart stuff. Your daily hack today. Now, this is great. What a great idea. This is fantastic. Dead Drops. Thanks, Jay. Dead Drops is an anonymous, offline, peer-to-peer file sharing in public spaces. USB flash drives are embedded into walls, buildings, and curbs, accessible to anybody in public space. Everyone is invited to drop and find files on a dead drop. Plug in your laptop or wall or house or pole to share your favorite files of data. Each dead drop is installed empty, except for the README text file explaining the project. Dead drops are open to participation. This sounds like a really good way to get your computer infected with some crazy shit. But anyway... If you want to install a dead drop in your city or neighborhood, follow the how-to instructions and submit the locations and pictures. So that's a very interesting way to... I thought that was pretty cool. I mean,
it's like a data geocache static sneaker net type system. It's really cool.
It's a neat idea. Yeah, it's a really cool idea. Now, did you know about this?
I had heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool concept. And I was like, wow, I can't believe...
Very cool.
It's another one that's like, really? Wow, that's so simple. Like, why didn't I think of that? That's... Wow, good idea.
It's awesome.
And, of course, it's been 1 year to date since the Pirate Party show went on the air. Wow, can you believe that?
Yeah.
One full
Long
year.
By. It's been quite a ride.
I can't believe it's been a year. And, it just seemed like yesterday.
End of last October, I put it on the air. It's... goes by really fast. People are enjoying it, and now the Pirate Party UK is endorsing it. So we got three people, three of the Pirate Parties liking the show: Canada, US, and now the UK as of last week. So
wow, that's like the English-speaking world, isn't it?
That's right. We're pretty close. A good chunk of it. Just
good chunk of the English-speaking world. Wow. I mean,
board.
Whoa.
Yep.
I'm not endorsed by anybody. I mean, you got three whole nations endorsing you. That's pretty cool, man. Awesome.
Yeah.
But personally, though, I think it's way more awesome that after now Little Rocks is in South Korea. I mean, that's what's going on with that.
South Australia today is the recording of this. It's on the 4th. Of course, the different time zones and stuff, but the 4th in Korea and the 4th in Australia is showing. So all our fans there are going to go see it, which is awesome. I know some people in Australia are driving a whole bunch of hours to go see it down there. And
really?
One guy in South Korea, a fan in South Korea, is going to go see it as well.
Really? That's going to be awesome. I'd totally love to know what the South Koreans think of that. It was pretty neat to see it with you. And, of course, watching you, because you cleaned up, right? You won at the Vancouver Short Film Festival for Best
That's
Audio
right.
Design. Right, you won that.
Yeah, that was exciting. Yeah, because it was the portion that I did for the movie. So it was kind of neat to be at the award show.
Kind of neat. It was awesome. Are you kidding?
Design.
It was home turf. You're there. Your family was there.
Yeah.
There's all these awesome films. And bam, you bring it home on home turf in front of everybody. When it mattered, boom! That was like the big football
win,
man. That was like super score touchdown.
They gave out for the night. What's going on?
Yeah.
Totally caught by surprise.
It was
amazing.
Pretty great. We were like, yeah, whatever, right? We're not one of these people, right? We're not art fags. You know, I'm like running around swearing my head off. I'm dressed. I was wearing, no lie, it was we just came from a Halloween party. So I went to the Short Film Festival. I was wondering what I was going to wear. I was wearing multicam proper pants with Danner Scorpion boots. I was wearing my Zombie Hunter t-shirt. I zombie hunter HSGI multicam hat with a zombie hunter patch on it. I had a zombie hunter wristband to remember the fallen zombie hunters, and gloves. Right. Yeah, people thought I was just, you know, insane. You know, in the back of they really did. They thought I was just wacko. But and then you got the award, and I went up there with you and stood off to the side and like clapped and stuff like that. There's like, if you go to the VFF website, it's really funny. There's no photos of me at all. Like, I'm not anywhere in any of the photographs. It's like, how did you not get photos of the guy dressed like the commando dude? But I think that was
well,
like,
if you look closely on one. You the
did my hat.
The view is visible, and you
can see my hat,
but it's not your. If you know what Sean kind of the shape of Sean, you know that it's Sean, right? And,
right.
And the hat, but face. So there's and it, so I just posted in the chat there so people can take a look at it.
It's what, really
what's
funny.
What's happening, BC.com. And there's a whole bunch of pictures of me, like in like four photos, is because I chatted up the guy who did the article. I was talking with him for a half an hour.
Way to go! Way to go!
So that's
got a little play there.
It was lots of fun.
And we met that dude. That dude and his wife. I remember her name. I don't remember his name. But he was really nice. He was a nice dude. And he showed us a bunch of... He worked on the special effects for V. And he showed us a bunch of stuff. And he was like... He was all apologetic. It was awesome. He was like, you know, a lot of people didn't like that. They didn't like what I did. And I'm like, dude, I never saw the show. Well, they wanted to get us fired and everything. They really hated us and they hated the work. I mean, this guy was destroyed, man. Like, he was really upset. This was something that he was proud to have worked on and... And, like, I guess they must have just killed these guys, because I suppose the special effects in the new V show were pretty horrible, I guess. I don't know. But, apparently there was, like, a Facebook group that tried to get them fired and, like, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, dude, really?
Wow.
You know, that's pretty cold-blooded, you know? So, and as an artist myself, I mean, I kind of look at that and go, wow, man, really? And I was telling him about how I like to work with people, where I, like, trust my people and stuff like that. And he looked at me like I was, like, you know, the Messiah or something. I don't know. It was pretty... He seemed interesting. He seemed like he wanted to work with me anyway, because I'm pretty easy to work with, you know, from a creative control standpoint.
Once you work in the industry and you're just cranking out stuff that everybody tells you what to do, you don't get a lot of creative input. And I guess he was looking for that. And I think a lot of artists... look for that kind of project where you can actually have input and put your heart and soul into it and be proud of it rather than just cranking out the next effect that's written on a piece of paper.
I think if you did something and you presented it to a director who I'd be working with, or, well, you'd be working with me, and I look at you and I go, wow, you totally pinned this. This is amazing. Thank you so much. I can't believe how awesome you are. You want to have dinner? Like, this is awesome. And I just rave and rave and rave. Because, honestly, a lot of the work that the people I work with, like David Kruppitz, man, the guy knows, like, what's I'm trying to do with the series, right? Like, he gets it. That's why you work with people who are fans of your stuff. You don't work with people who don't understand what's going on, right? If they don't get the right vibe or the feel or the atmosphere, however you want to call it, right? The juju. You know, whatever you want to name that special atmosphere, you've got to have that. And of course, David's such a wizard with that stuff. I mean, the guy's super switched on. And
he captured it perfectly. I mean, we won awards for it. So he knows, he knew the universe and knew how to portray it. And he did a great job.
And I hate to say it now, but I remember when I first watched it the first time, like the credits rolled. And I think the first thing I said is, you're going to clean house with this. Like, this is going to clean up, man. Like, this is going to, like, win all kinds of awards. And
it's true.
There's one full-on Sean pick on the page. Somebody said.
No, he's joking.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Not you.
Well, never read the chat. Forget sometimes.
That's right. Just ignore it.
That's right. So it'll be interesting to see some photos that come out of South Korea. That is for sure. And again, Simi, you know, this is only the beginning, man. You're going to become the new Francis Ford Coppola. I mean, I swear to God, this is... I'm so excited to see the new stuff that you're going to be coming out with. Like, wham! You know, it's going to be your time, for sure. And that's all we got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you can donate to the show, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website. Or you can send an envelope to Rand Media Studios, Box 95089 370, East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5G1W0. And let's not forget that we have one digital baptism tonight. Pacercoin is now token ringleader. Yeah, that's right. And I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to my buddy Sim at info@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, not the background, in the background, check out some Psytrance. And I'm going to fade out now with one of my more favorite tracks. Simmy, have you got anything else at all?
Nope. That's it.
Pretty much taking over the world. Looking forward to hearing from people from South Korea. And remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars. I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars. No handlebars. Look at me, look at me. Hands in the air like it's good to be alive. And I'm a famous rapper even when the paths are all crooked-y. I can show you how to do-si-do. I can show you how to scratch a record. I can take apart the remote control. And I can almost put it back together. I can tie a knot in a cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores. And I'm proud to be an American. Me and my friend saw a platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book. And guess how long it took. I can do anything that I want. Cause look, I can keep rhythm with no metronome. No metronome, no metronome. And I can see your face on the telephone. On the telephone, on the telephone. Look at me, look at me. Just called to say that it's good to be alive. In such a small world, I'm all curled up with a book to read. I can make money, open up a thrift store. I can make a living off a magazine. I can design an engine 64 miles to a gallon of gasoline. I can make new antibiotics. I can make computers survive aquatic conditions. I know how to run the business. And I can make you want to buy a product. Movers, shakers, and producers. Me and my friends understand the future. I see the strings that control the system. I can do anything with no resistance. Cause I can lead a nation with a microphone. With a microphone, with a microphone. And I can split the atom of a molecule. Of a molecule, of a molecule. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. Or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all heal from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison. Just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command. Because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite. By satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope. Through a telescope. Through a telescope. And I can end up